Well, good morning. It is so good to see you all here this morning. You all braved the nice cool weather out here in Palm Springs. Yeah? My goodness. I mean, to see 99 before 9 o'clock was a little rough. You know, we're still getting that little bit of ocean breeze down in L.A. My wife tells me it's beautiful. She's sitting by the pool. We can all just pray for her soul. Right? For those of you I haven't met, I'm Pastor Dominic Rivkin. I am the city director of Link Los Angeles, which is a mission development agency in the city. We work with people who are commonly overlooked, commonly underestimated, those who are on the fringes, those who are hidden in the neighborhoods of our great city, and those who God has placed an amazing blessing on their heart to share the gospel within their community, to transform their neighborhood with the power of Jesus Christ. Amazing, right? It's a tremendous honor that God has placed upon me and placed upon our organization to do this work. And I can tell you that nothing that we do would have any sort of effect if it weren't for prayer. And when Pastor Rob asked me to come and speak to you all this morning, he left it kind of wide open, other than it needs to be from the book of Psalms. So when I think of the book of Psalms, I think of the book of Psalms as a book of prayer. And maybe that was the way I was trained. I mean, as a Lutheran pastor, Martin Luther called the Psalms the little Bible, right? Or the prayer book of Jesus was another thing that he would say. Or maybe it's just because there are certain psalms, certain words, certain verses that stick in my mind, in my heart, that are anchors for my soul. And what's interesting is a lot of the churches I'm preaching at this summer are preaching through the Psalms. So last week I got to preach on Psalm 23. And we all know those words, right? What are the words we remember out of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. He satisfies my soul, right? And this is what our God does. There's another psalm that actually I wanted to focus on today, but Pastor Rob is already doing that one, so he told me to pick another. It comes from Psalm 46, and I think I did this with you last time I was here. But there's a verse in Psalm 46 that I think will help us to approach what we're going to talk about today with a heart of prayer. So what I'd like you to do is you're going to close your eyes and you're just going to repeat after me this one verse from Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Lord God, Father in heaven, we are your children. We come before you, Lord God, with hearts and minds ready to receive your precious word. Let your Holy Spirit be with us, Lord God. Inspire our hearts, transform our minds. Lead us, Lord God, not only to knowing you better, but knowing ourselves better, and knowing, Lord God, where you have called each of us to serve you in your kingdom. We ask you for this time together in your word, that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts are forever pleasing in your sight. For you alone, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. You are our God. Amen. So that one verse from Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. There is a gentleman who teaches at St. Monica's Catholic Church in Santa Monica. And twice a month gathers together people, about 200 people maybe show up on a Thursday night to listen to talks about prayer, about who it is that we pray to, how it is that we approach this God, what it is that this God tells us, and ultimately why God has gifted us with such an amazing tool for prayer like we have here in the Psalms. There's a quote that I came across from an author, George Gordon Hinckley. It says, "Let us not forget to pray. God lives. He is near. He is real. He is not only aware of us, but cares for us. He is our Father. He is accessible to all who seek Him, to all who turn to God in prayer, to all who seek God's face," like we just sang in the song. Seeking God's face means that we open God's Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through that Word, to transform our minds, inspire our hearts, to help us to know how God wants us to live in light of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Psalms are full of all of these prayers. The Psalm that we're going to focus on today literally says, "A prayer of David," King David. A prayer about the steadfast love of God. A prayer that is spoken out in a time of need. A prayer that realizes that this God who created the heavens and the earth, that are all that are in them, also created you and I, and invites us to come before Him, to open up our hearts, to open up our minds, and lay before Him all of our requests. The text that we're going to focus on today is Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And I know that you have Pew Bibles there. It's on page 585. But that's an NIV Bible. And I looked at it, and the text is a little bit different than the one I'm going to read today. Okay, you'll get the idea if you want to open up to 585, but understand that what I'm going to read to you is from the English Standard Version. And the reason I want to do that is there are some really specific nuances of the language that we really need to talk about. And they really come out well here in the ESV. So, Psalm 86 says this: "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever, for great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and have comforted me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord that become the words of our prayers. It's kind of a unique nuance of the Psalms, right? It's the words of God that become our words of prayers right back to God. In fact, you can read all of the Psalms with that in mind. You can read all of the Psalms just imagining the words being on the lips of Jesus. As we see often in the New Testament, they are. So you're familiar with Jesus' prayer, right? His disciples come to him and they say, "Hey, teach us how to pray just like John taught his disciples how to pray." And Jesus said to them, "Okay, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." He gives this form and this shape to prayer that comes from here. It comes from the Psalms. We acknowledge who God actually is, right? We acknowledge how God actually works and what God actually does, and that encapsulated in that whole thing is this beautiful why for us, why we should come to God with the prayers and the requests of our heart. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray just as he had learned how to pray from the scriptures, from something like Psalm 86, where in 17 verses of Psalm 86, in 17 verses, only three of those verses do not call upon a name of God. Only in 17 verses, 14 are calling upon his name. The first name and the last name called upon are Yahweh, the name above all names, I am that I am. And the interesting thing about this psalm is as the psalmist writes Yahweh, when he calls out to this one God, he calls out to him asking something very specific. He's asking that God actually incline his ear, that God reach out like this and listen, right? And that God actually responds. So let me ask all of you, in your prayers, in all of your speaking to God, how often are you waiting for God's response? I mean, sometimes we think it'll just come, right? Just sort of like out of the blue, and then all of a sudden things will change. But a God who is listening, a God who is active, a God who is real, a God who is here and now by his Spirit is constantly speaking. Whether or not we're talking to God, he's talking to us. Mother Teresa once said that prayer is not about asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God at his disposition and listening to his voice in the depth of our hearts. Listening to God's voice in the depth of our hearts. For the great I am, the creator of the universe, of the earth and all that is in it, is in us. And the power of that image of God that has been in us since we were created has an ear that is tuned to hear our Father's voice. And so often, brothers and sisters in Christ, we get mixed up and we start to listen to other voices. We start to listen to the voice of the enemy who tells us that this God is not a real God and that in fact we are less than he made us to be. This enemy that points out all of our behaviors and calls them sins. This one who lies and gets us so far away from the truth of who God actually is and our true identity in him. that our life seems like a torturous path. No, it was a few years ago, there was a book that came out called Cold Mountain. Charles Frazier wrote this book. And in it, there's a soldier named Inman. He's coming back from the horrors of the Civil War. And he's been blasted and ravaged by this war. He has lost all sense of his hope and even all sense of his personal identity. As he stumbles along on this long journey back to his farm, he follows the path of a creek that is down a hill. And the writer says, his eyes kept to the bright thread of water before him. The path it found to make his way to lower ground was as coiled as a hog's bowel. It's pretty gross, right? Pretty graphic. But we get the idea that the path to home is curving and winding and torturous. And the path to knowing who we truly are can be curving and winding and torturous like a hog's bowel all twisted and turned in on itself. And when we're following something other than the voice of God, when we're following something other than the true God, we can get lost in all the twists and all the turns and lose sight of who we truly are. This is who the psalmist is praying to. He's praying to a God who recognizes how poor and needy each of us is. He calls out to him and he says, "Preserve my life, for I'm godly." How many of us can say that we're godly? When we're twisted around in the coils and of the hog's bowel, right? It's hard to see ourselves as godly. But in fact, when we dig deep, when we dig deeper behind the behaviors of our sin, when we dig deeper behind the brokenness of our identity, we find this core of us that was created and that is very, very good. The very image of God. The godliness in us. For it is the godliness in us that prays to our God, right? It's the word that we're given that prays back to the one who gave it. And the Jesus in you speaks to his Father as one who is poor and needy, who one who prays to God, "Save your servant who trusts in you, for you are my God." That word. God, Elohim. Three times the psalmist uses that word to call out to God. Elohim is kind of the fullness of who God is in Father, Son, and Spirit. He's more than just a God, he is the God, the one. Elohim, what's interesting about that word is it's both singular and the El and the Him is plural. Talking about, hearkening to that Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, in which we trust. He calls out to his God, asking him, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day." All the day, six times, he calls out to Lord Adonai. He calls out to that one who hears his voice and responds to his cry, and the one to whom he lifts up his soul. Your soul. You know, it's interesting when I think of how we get that concept a little mixed up. We think of soul as this sort of ethereal, outside of us kind of thing that sort of returns to God, leaving all the other stuff behind. That's not what that means at all. Actually, the soul is the complete you. The soul is your heart. It is your mind. It is your body. It is the fullness of what God created that returns to God in prayer, lifted up to him as a sacrifice for what he has done for us. For he alone is good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love for all who call upon him. We have a God who is that good and that forgiving that he would answer us in the most complete way. He answers our heart, he answers our mind, he answers our body, and he answers us in his incarnation in Christ. Because only God in Christ can show us what it means to be fully human, what it means to fully trust in this God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our body, with our very soul. This is a God that we trust in because of what he has done for us. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace, undeserved love that only God can give. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you and you answer me. This is why we pray. We pray because the world doesn't quite make sense all the time, does it? I mean, the different things that we see on the news or we converse over coffee, it's hard for us to get our mind around a world that is tearing itself apart. It's hard for us to understand our place in that world when we don't know our true identity in God. So we cry out to him in the depth of our need, in our trouble. Call upon this God and trusting the fact that he is the one who answers. For there is none like him among the small g gods, O Lord, nor are there any words like his. All the nations he has made shall come and worship before him and shall glorify his name. For he is great and does wonderful things. He alone is God. And we call upon him to teach us his ways, that we may walk in his truth, uniting our heart to fear his name. That torturous, twisted way that we've gotten ourselves into is straightened out so that we can walk in the way of his righteousness, the way that he has walked already for us in Christ. See, Christ took that knotted mess of our false ideas of who God was and the lies that we've believed about ourselves and straightens them all out and shows himself to be our Savior, God of grace, a God of mercy, a God to whom we give thanks with our whole heart and glorify forever. For great is his steadfast love. He has delivered our soul from the depths. Do you believe this? Do you believe in the depth of your heart that you have the image of God within you that cries out to him, who speaks to you and changes your mind and changes your heart, changes your life? This is the power of prayer. And every single time I've been called out here to Our Savior Community Church in Palm Springs, every single time I've been called out here and sit in this room and pray with you as a congregation, I see hearts that are being shaped by their God, minds that are being transformed, a body of believers that is out to change its community with the gospel. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't lose this. You can't lose this. You can't lose the power of prayer within your community of faith. I pray that the next time I come here, I don't just see 6 or 7 people in here. I see all of you. I mean, moving it out here, right? Because we have to be in prayer before our God, speaking and listening to our God, trusting in our God, giving thanks with our whole heart for his steadfast love towards us, for his deliverance in Christ Jesus. The time is more needful now than ever. David, when he wrote this psalm, he said that insolent men had risen up against him. A band of ruthless men sought his life, and they did not set God before them. This is exactly the trouble that we see in our world. We see those who have not placed God before themselves. We see so many that are on that twisted, torturous path and can't find a way out. that are living in a false identity and expressing that false identity on everyone else, that are living for their own desires and not for the will of God. Who other than you, those who turn to their God and trust in His grace and mercy, who other than you who pray to their God and listen to His voice, who other than you are to share that gospel? And it begins on your knees in prayer to God. It begins by listening to His voice and abiding in His word. He is a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness to everybody who is twisted and turned around believing the lie. He is gracious and merciful to them all. And He calls upon us to be instruments of His grace and His mercy. David says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant." You get it? Give your strength to your servant, because he knows that he's going to have to share this. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see. Let me be put to shame. And please understand, by put to shame, it doesn't mean humiliated. It means seeing the errors of their ways, being twisted and turned around and living in a false identity, and actually feeling the shame, which is a good thing, which turns them back to God to receive His grace, mercy, and forgiveness. This is our role, is to speak the truth in love, just as God is speaking to us in His word and in our prayer. Because you, Lord, have helped me, and you have comforted me. There's no other reason to pray other than you know what God will answer. God will always answer you with this beautiful image in word and in picture and in feeling and whatever that God speaks to you, however God speaks to you, but it will be a perfect image of Himself in Christ Jesus. In His life, in His death, in His resurrection, and He's going to say it's for you. And He's going to say, take it. It's a free gift. Take it and share it. Take it so that all the world can know me as a loving Father and my Son as Savior and friend. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as you pray the Psalms, what I encourage you to do is to take a text like Psalm 86, read it a couple of times, and then write your own prayer. How would you say these very same things to God? How would you express the needs of your heart and your soul? How would you explain the troubles and the needs in your life? And then how would you trust that God will answer your prayer? Sisters and brothers in Christ, it's my honor again to be with you today, and my honor to stay with you and to pray and to trust that the God to whom we speak is the God who speaks to us. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Father in heaven, we so thank you that you come to us in our time of greatest need. You come to us, Lord God, when our lives seem twisted and turned around, and you make a path straight, straight through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, straight to the power of your Holy Spirit, which leads us and guides us, Lord God, right back to you, a God who is gracious and merciful, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We ask you, Lord God, that you strengthen us by your word and by your spirit, and that in all things, Lord God, when we pray to you, asking for the needs of our hearts, that you give us a heart and a mind and an ear to listen to your word and to act, Lord God, for the sake of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Include.